one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, just come before you this morning, Lord, asking us to open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wonderful things in your word. Lord, that open our minds and our hearts to this message, to one of us individually and corporately as your church here in Ames, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our Lord, here's our Lord on the way to the cross, as you well know. After washing his disciples' feet, after correcting their wrong theology about who would be the greatest in the kingdom, and reminding them, his new commandment was that they would love one another. And, you know, if that wasn't enough, he stops to pray this prayer here, this prayer for unity with a purpose, not just that we would be united, but also that through our unity, through the love that we show for one another, the world, the world would know. I don't know about you, but I was in the world at one time, still, you know, in the world, but not of the world.
Yes, sir.
If you know what I mean? But I was one of those that when I saw that love, I knew the Father sent Jesus.
So good.
Drew me out of the world into his kingdom. And listen, that's what I'm hoping this morning to show, to bring this message to you guys, to us, to myself. As you know, when God speaks to you, a lot of times it's just maybe just for me. I don't know about you guys, but this theme of unity in the body that we so desperately need. So he prays this prayer, and you know it was answered. Not only does Jesus pray that prayer, if that wasn't enough, but if we look at the next slide, before praying that prayer, he had reminded them about the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
This is what he said to them. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Further down in the same chapter, John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm going to stop right there before I read the rest of that. Maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Yes, sir.
Just think about that. Jesus has already prayed for unity. He now is reminding his disciples about the Holy Spirit, the promise, his peace. His peace. And then, look at this in the book of Acts. After the risen Lord appears to them, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, we have the promise that Jesus is talking about. And I will put my Spirit within you.
Yes, sir.
One sentence. And I will put my Spirit within you. This promise was given to a rebellious people. If you read that chapter in Ezekiel, or the book of Ezekiel, where Israel was. It's never about us, isn't it? It's about him. It's about who he is. He wasn't basing the promise on what they were doing. He was basing the promise on who he is.
Amen.
His righteousness, his love. So, three things. Unity, the Spirit, and the peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. With all that, the next slide, the promise is a lot more than just salvation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's a lot more than that, than just salvation. And I wrote here, we have two things, but really it is three. Jesus asked for his people and for his church, unity in the Holy Spirit. He already left his peace with us. You know, God the Father heard and answered Jesus' prayer. And if you know your Bible, book of Acts, chapter 2, the beginning of the church at Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out on the church in a mighty and powerful way, we read that over 3,000 souls were saved as Peter preached, saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all," listen to this, "and all who are far off."
Yes, sir.
"Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself."
Amen.
We were far off. When God made that promise, it was to Israel. We were far off, but God knew.
Right.
We were already on his radar. Praise God. "And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved."
Yes, Lord.
Now we know that the book of Acts is still being written today, as the Lord is still adding to the church those that are being saved.
Amen. That's good.
That's all of us here, I hope. Yes. There's been a work of the Trinity working together in perfect harmony to unite us in the church from every tribe, nation, tongues, and peoples. It's one thing I love about this church. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working throughout the ages to effect justification, salvation, and sanctification in the people of God, without regard for class, race, political affiliations, cultural traditions, even more looking past those things that the world considers as important or even necessary. We Gentiles now have a place at the table, if you will. We have access through the cross into this called out assembly of believers. Let's consider the words of the Apostle Paul next. "Brought together by his sacrifice." And you heard me talking about this before, that promise was to Israel. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Amen. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinance, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace.
Yes.
It might reconcile us both to God in one body."
Amen.
In one body. "Through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." Think about that for a minute while I get my slides back up here. Sorry. technology and me don't get along very well. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has united believers from every walk of life, from every nation, language, race, or culture,
yes,
into one body through their gracious gift of salvation. The central theme is Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Our shared heritage is Jesus,
yes,
is his blood, is his work, his sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. Unity in the body is a gift from God to the church.
That's good.
Jesus prayed for that. The Father heard, answered, and gave. It's ours. It's a gift. It's our heritage. The Holy Spirit at work in the people of God brings about that unity. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit at work in the people of God brings about that unity.
Yes, sir.
He makes that unity a reality for us. When we meet together in fellowship to worship, like we're doing today, to worship the author and the finisher of our salvation, he knits our hearts together as we share in our joys and sufferings. And our unity is and will be the testimony that reveals God, that reveals Christ
Amen.
To a dark and decaying world.
Amen.
I have been blessed to see this reality this past year, and I'll tell you a personal testimony about that. During the pandemic, there was a group of us that got together to pray. Sister Carla, Mark, Elder Thompson, others got together to pray. Sister Ida. And I don't know about you guys, but during the pandemic, it was a strange season. As we couldn't fellowship the way we were used to, as we couldn't gather for a while the way that we were used to gathering.
Yes, sir.
During those phone calls or Zoom meetings where we prayed, and I'll just be honest with you guys, it was the first time that the Holy Spirit really moved in my heart, and I felt the love of my brothers and sisters. As I heard their prayers of encouragement, hope, comfort,
yes,
exhortation, edification, the Holy Spirit was moving in my heart, and I know in theirs, as we shared these prayers. We didn't get together to talk about divisive things. We got together to remember the author and finisher of our faith and to go before him and to bring all our hurts and hopes and anxiety and stress, fears. And in my case, and I know for my wife as well, the Holy Spirit moved, brought that peace that surpasses all understanding, that it was going to be okay. That's one of the times where I could really remember just the Spirit moving, even though we were not together, even though we were separate in our own homes, yet I knew God had knit our hearts together in this way.
Yes, sir.
And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to go through that. The other way that I have seen and felt and know that the Spirit is moving and seeking to bring unity in our body is through the men's ministry.
Yes,
as
sir.
You mentioned earlier, Pastor, gathering with the men at Ada Hayden Lake, sometimes here for Bible study, and actually seeing the Spirit move in our hearts as we share deep, intimate, personal confessions of that are in our hearts and in our minds, things that we're going through. as we minister to one another. John and I had a chance to spend last week together, and just one brother to another.
Yes, sir.
The one anothering that Paul loves to talk about, mm-hmm. that happened, that would not be possible if there was no unity.
Yes, sir.
And that's my brief personal testimony. I have other stories about that, some from the jail ministry, to see the Spirit moving in the hearts of inmates that can't attend church. There's no church in jail.
Yes, sir.
But you know when you walk in that the Holy Spirit is there.
Amen.
When people say things like, I'm glad I ended up here at this jail, then you know that's not man talking. That's the Holy Spirit in that man. It was good that I was afflicted, wasn't it? You know that psalm. The next slide is a call to be eager to maintain unity in the Spirit for us. Ephesians again, chapter 4. Paul writes, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. This is Paul in prison. Urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, we don't have to create the unity or produce the unity. We just have to maintain the unity. It's already our heritage. God has already given the unity. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and He's put the peace in our hearts. All we have to do is maintain, guard against everything else that comes against that division. Maintain the unity of the Spirit. And then Paul reminds us there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What a great reminder. We are reminded, indeed, there is only one body. We belong to one body and we are in one Spirit.
Yes, sir.
We have one hope. One Lord, Christ, in us, the hope of glory. There is only one faith, the faith that we are to contend for that was once and for all delivered to all the saints.
Yes, sir.
One baptism, the symbol of the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there is one God and Father of us all who is over all and through all and in all. Four things that are given to us, and then the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. For us, it's to maintain the unity in the Spirit, in the bond of peace. If that's not enough, listen to this. This is where it's love the Word of God. Next slide. Our leaders are given to us to equip us for the work of ministry. God gave us all those things. And on top of that, He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. For the building up of the body of Christ. As you heard, this young couple will be going to Ghana, I think you guys said, for the work of ministry.
Yes, Lord.
What a blessing. What a blessing. And listen, Paul keeps talking here, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. Praise God.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah indeed. So God has already given all that we need. All that we need. This is a great revelation from God, that in his great love for us, he gave gifts to men and women. In that same chapter, it talks about that Jesus ascended and he gave gifts to men, so that we, through their labor of love for us, may be equipped for the work of the ministry and for the building up the body of Christ, that by our obedience and maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, many more souls like my own, may be snatched from the darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his marvelous Son.
Yes, Jesus.
The church has a purpose.
Yes.
There's a reason why we're still here.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
There's a reason that we exist in Ames, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
For this reason, we're reminded to obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves for they watch for your souls, mm-hmm. as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. God, in his great wisdom, has decided to join together again peoples from all walks of life, from different nations, tongues, and races, to teach us how to walk in unity by growing us in humility, patience, gentleness, and love through the Holy Spirit. Listen, only a Spirit-led church filled by Spirit-led believers can glorify God. Only a Spirit-led church filled by Spirit-led believers can glorify God. So as we come to the end of the message, let's talk about, in the last slide, a witness to the world. Some questions for us to ponder, to think about and consider. Am I maintaining the unity and the Spirit in the bond of peace, me individually? And again, I said when I started this message, maybe this message is just for me. What is the relationship between unity and faith in what God has done through Jesus?
Come on.
Think about that. What helps you grow in your belief in Christ? What helps you grow in your trust in Christ? What helps you grow in your knowledge of Christ? What helps you grow in your relationship with Christ? Questions to think about, ponder. Listen to this quote by a pastor that I like to read, Pastor Ray Stedman. The power of the church to influence society does not derive from gathering together enough Christians to swing enough votes to sway a legislature. God's plan cannot be achieved by worldly power. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I want to leave you guys with this Psalm 133. You guys know the psalm that David wrote. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell in unity. But that's not all if you, and that's a short little psalm you can read over and over at the end of that psalm. He says, for it is there that God commands a blessing,
yes, God.
An eternal blessing in that unity. Amen. Father, we come together today, Lord, and just pray, Father, that your word just penetrate our hearts and our minds, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would deal with us the way that you want to, Lord, today, where we are. Lord, thank you that you came to save us. Help us to remember that you are at the center of your church, that this is your church. Lord, you said that you would build your church and the gates of hell would not prevail against us. Lord, you prayed for us to be united. You prayed for the Holy Spirit, the promise to be given to us. And you left us your peace. Help us to remember that, Lord. And help us, Lord, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Jesus' name.